You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Leadership Leaning. To be specific, we are in season one. This is episode three, and today I have the best guest that I can bring on next to Jesus. I always say it's Jesus and Julia. Julia's on. Once a year, annually, we bring Julia on to Leadership Leaning, so she's going to be joining us for a riveting conversation in just a moment. But I want to say thank you to everyone that is listening, sharing, commenting, subscribing. It means the world. We have a team of people you can't see here that works hard to put this podcast together. And we just love. I was thinking about, you can help us with this. Okay. You know how like Beyonce has the beehive?
Oh, geez. Yes, I do.
And yeah, you do. And I'm trying to think of another example, like the Swifters, right?
No, I'm not tracking with that one.
Taylor Swift. What is her nation called?
Oh, I don't know.
The Selenas. Selena's got a group. I feel like we should name, are you ready for this, Aaron? Leadership Lean-In Nation. Not to be confused with Transformation. Shout out to Mike and Natalie.
Okay.
I think we are called the Leaners.
The Leaners? I was just going to say the Leaners.
We're not.
How about the
learning until we're leaning. Ooh, yeah. Somebody put it on Twitter. You ain't learning unless you is leaning.
Oh my God.
We are the Leaners. Remember those V8 commercials?
There's a reason why I'm the annual guest and not the semi-annual guest, because I'm gonna shoot down all these ideas.
Julia can't stop
leaner.
Us.
Leaner.
Yeah.
Lean with it.
We're getting lean with it. Rock with it. Yeah, I like that. Okay, we're the Leaners. So thank you to everybody that is a part of our tribe. We are not arrived. We don't have all the answers, but we're bringing guests on that do have all the answers, and that is why. Put your hands together wherever you are. On your run or in your living room, checking out Leadership Lean In. Julia, it's great to have you on.
Thanks for having
me. It's been a year.
Has it really been a year?
It's been a year. It's been a year since you were on.
It has also been a year.
It has been a year.
A year. I don't even know what we talked about last time, but I'll have to.
All I know is that we were not in this studio, aka my office.
I like this studio.
I like this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out to Colin and Cast Media that let us start Leadership Lean In, hosted Leadership Lean In forever. And then in the pandemic, we went from our bedroom to elevated and graduated to the office.
We did a few episodes
in the bedroom.
Yeah.
We were with John Gordon, Catherine Schwarzenegger Pratt was on there.
Yeah.
Levi Lusco was on there.
Wow.
Mike Todd was on there. Chris Durst. So we had a lot of people.
You got busy
Rich
in the
Jr.
bedroom.
You said that, not me. So again, she only comes on once a year. It has been a year. We're very excited. Okay. And I feel like we bring you on. We should be talking to you about food and fashion.
Wait, really?
Hey, Leaners.
Leaners. Yeah.
I don't know if it rolls.
Yeah.
I say you come on another episode this year.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe next season, because we're doing seasons now.
Maybe next
year.
You'll see me in 2022.
Let us know if you want Julia to do one on food and fashion. But we always talk to you about relationships, and the reason why is because you and I are in a covenant committed relationship.
I was studying this morning
for Sunday.
Okay.
And on my Logos Bible software. No, I did not get paid to say that.
Yeah, that's not an ad.
And
the ad has a different voice, you know.
I was studying in the Old Testament, the word love, both from God to man and man to God, and even the attempt to adhere to the law I've never seen these two words together, that it was a loyalty of love.
Hmm.
God's loyalty to us and our loyalty to him. And I wrote that phrase down and I thought, you know, my loyalty of love is to you.
Wow.
Your loyalty of love is to me. And we're trying to, like everybody else, get better and better. So we're going to talk about relationships today, and we're going to get real.
Okay.
No, this is not the real. With shout out to Adrian. This is not the real. She's on The View or The Real?
The Real.
She's on The Real. Yeah, I knew that. So we're going to get real today.
I love it. Let's do it.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm interviewing you. Okay. You're the expert today.
Okay.
We're having a conversation, but.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, we'll tee it up. Okay. When I say this phrase, what comes to mind?
Okay.
We're talking to leaders today about relationships.
The leaners. Okay.
We're talking to the leaners.
Okay.
They're leaning in right now. Guys, we're having fun today. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, we're trying to do our best. Remember, you're on the same team. In your relationship, a lot of times there's conflict. Conflict is inevitable.
Right.
But you can't build opposition. How do you remember that you and I are on the same team?
Well, I think let's start with it's natural to want what we want. I mean, that's human nature, that my opinion, my way, or the highway, I'm right, you're wrong. Mm. I have this tactic. This is not something I would suggest, but this is free for someone who likes to win. I have this tactic that we use.
I already know what you're going with.
I use in an argument when we're both strong firstborns, and we both like to win. We both have an edge of competitiveness to us, and when we're debating. That's like a kind
it's
word.
A very kind
yes,
word.
When we're fighting fair, I just have this mode that I go in. I'm like, you know what, Chad, that's right. You are right. Actually, you are so right that you win.
You win.
You're the winner. You have won. You got the gold medal. Now, as the winner, just remember
this hurts just to even hear
that
you say it
I am the loser.
Loser.
I've lost.
You're leaning into losing.
You're the winner.
Yeah.
But the one you love.
Right.
The one that you're in a committed, loyal love relationship with,
yeah.
I'm the loser.
Right.
I'm just such a loser. I have lost.
Okay.
So,
I feel like I'm actually doing something bad right now. You're getting me again.
So I think with that premise is like it takes us to set our emotions aside.
That's right.
No. Put our pride down, our ego away, and just be like, it's okay to lose or to meet in the middle or to have humility in that moment to be able to see how the other one feels.
That's right.
And oh gosh, it's so good to be right though. It's
right.
So good to like get your way, have your point be heard.
Yeah.
But it's definitely... What was the original question? I'm drifting. Here we go.
No, you're fine. Remember, you're on the same team. And
I think that is. Yeah, I think that's totally. I mean, you've played more sports than I did. You know, hey, choir team, does that count? Science team, shout out
team.
To the smart people. No. No, you're a good debater, better than I am. I think that being teammates just requires us to play our roles to the best ability.
That's right.
You know?
I think it does, it causes you to lean in to the team.
Yeah.
Which is the other person of going, what do you need? How can I help you? Some of the best marriage advice that I heard this past year, you and I have sat down with counselors. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get our marriage as strong and healthy as possible. We want to encourage everybody out there to go do that. Mm-hmm. But is to ask the question, what do you need?
Right.
It's so disarming to the other person that could be upset and just going like, hey, I'm on your team. I'm for you.
Yeah.
When the Bible says the two shall become one, that is so critical to understand that your win is my win and your loss is my loss. We're not separated. We are not individuals anymore. We are one. And so we want this unit to win, which is our home, our family, our finances, our kids. We're one. And so anybody that doesn't get that oneness of that starts to get competitive and try. And so anytime, you know, you're using it as an example of like, hey, you're trying to make me the loser here, which is like, that's so backwards. Mm-hmm. We should fight for each other.
Yes,
and
it
remember
is.
And remember, you love that. And remember, we're on the same team. We're right. going for the same goal,
yeah.
which is health,
yeah.
which is prosperity in our soul, which is living a great life.
Yeah.
And it starts with being teammates. Here's the second one.
Yeah.
Don't retaliate, compensate.
Oh.
What comes to mind when I say that line? Don't retaliate, compensate.
Yeah, I think compensating takes effort, takes work. It takes it's just easy to retaliate. It's
yeah.
easier, you know.
100%.
And so I think a lot of times, I mean, we've been married for 12 and a half years. We get credit for the half, you know. I think through several times when we're like, fine, you just do you, I do me, instead of working hard to compensating for the gap or the lack that is needed to be filled. And so compensation for us practically, I'm like trying to think of some examples. I mean, compensating for us sometimes look like getting help.
Yeah.
And figuring out how to fill that gap.
Yep.
Compensating for us sometimes means that we need to remove the emotions of the retaliation,
yep.
taking pauses, yep. taking a break and revisiting.
Mm-hmm.
And in that place of unemotion, we can actually hear each other.
Totally.
You know, when I compensate and when I want to give and to serve, that is not in a moment when I'm frustrated or hot-headed or emotionally wired.
Yep.
That's from a place of like, getting perspective.
Need some space.
Understanding the big picture, you know.
Yeah, I was saying this the other day, but I saw Greg Laurie, great pastor from Riverside. He tweeted, a marriage is two people that are committed to being great givers and forgivers.
Right, yeah.
And I love the combination of that.
Yeah.
Because when I see don't retaliate, all of us are emotional. And all of us have an ability to, you know, when the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend, faithful are the wounds of a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, it's just part of being married that when you're married or you're in a relationship, you're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
Right? So the only way the relationship can flourish is that if I give you margin for error, I give you room for failure, you give that to me, and we give each other grace, we give each other forgiveness. It's givers and forgivers. And when I see don't retaliate, compensate, I think of that quote because there's no way that we can have a healthy marriage or a healthy soul if I'm always retaliating or reacting to where you're at and what you're doing and vice versa.
Yeah.
So I love that line because I think that's where everything gets good is if I can somehow, I love that you use the word calm down and give and forgive.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, number three, try on each other's shoes. This is crazy because right when I read this, I see in our bedroom, I walked in last night and two of your shoes were out and immediately I thought, Clive, you went in there and you tried on your mom's shoe. You're not going to do that, son. Try on each other's shoes. What does that make you think of? Try on each other's shoes.
Yeah, I mean, it's to live a day in someone else's shoes, you know, put yourself in their way, their perspective,
right.
what's going on in their heart and their lens. Trying on someone's shoes, I mean, immediately it makes me think of the art of empathy or the art of compassion.
Right.
And when I say the word art, it is an art form. It's a muscle that has to be learned. I mean, there are people that are beautifully wired to just exude empathy and compassion.
Naturally.
I think both of us are wired more tough, you know, and we're wired more let's run hard and go and intense would be a word I would describe both of us.
Right.
But really understanding how someone feels empathy and compassion. It takes exercise. It takes it takes pauses. It takes practice. And when I think of putting myself in your shoes, it is simply just getting rid of all my own expectations and needs. It just says, okay, I'm gonna understand what he's faced today, what his needs are, even though I want my needs more than your needs.
Right. No, 100%.
I think out of all of them, that would be like a real big challenge.
100%.
For us. I think that is something that we just get really focused on what we want to achieve, what we want to accomplish on our days off.
Right.
We have different set of expectations, and we have to learn how to understand if you need rest on that day and if I need to organize something and to run errands, you know, where there's given, where there's take.
100%. It makes me think of the morning, something that we're trying to figure out, the rhythm of the morning in our home. And right now, something that is off is where you're like, I made breakfast. I got the kids ready. I did this. And you sat and read the Bible and studied. This is not how life should go. And when I hear all that, that you've accomplished and done for the house, it makes me go, I got to put myself in her shoes. And what does that feel like to be left out on her own accomplishing all of this? And I'm not contributing, I'm not helping. So I think putting yourself in the other person's shoes is really listening.
Yeah.
The art of listening.
Yeah.
And hey, we're leaning in again. We're some leaners, but leaning into the relationship and the other person's needs.
Right.
I love that question. What do you need? And if I am a good teammate and I am for you and I do have loyal love, I am trying to figure out and put myself in your shoes, in your relationships, in your schedule, and how you're doing emotionally, physically. You know, what does it feel like to be you?
Mm-hmm.
If I can pause and get some empathy and some compassion,
yeah,
I'm going to serve. If I just blow past and do my own thing,
you're
going to go further down the road of feeling isolated and not feeling like you have a helper.
Right.
And that, to me, is missing the mark.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's got to be, how can I put myself in your shoes? You do such a good job of this every Saturday and Sunday. I just know it's like in our rhythm of like, you're trying to make sure I'm good for Sunday, and what do you need Saturday? How much study time and how much rest and how much, you know, and it's like, we've got that figured out. I'm trying to figure out how to, in the week, lean into your world and make your life easier. I just want to take the kids to Starbucks in the morning and just order breakfast sandwiches and make life easy. But that is not the solution to our problems.
Yeah. No, I think you bring up a good point, because if we just wait until date night to listen to each other and to make adjustments on our needs.
Yep.
And date night during a pandemic looks a little different.
Right.
I'm like, let's sit in the car and lock all the kids out and wave at them.
Yeah.
No, I think it's the Tuesday morning to the Saturday night. Mm. Those always have to be adjusted.
That's it.
If it's
always
broke, we have to fix it. Because if the Wednesday is fulfilling your needs and then Saturday night is my night, I think it's just like there has to be an ebb and flow of, you know, we're going to do what's best for both of us.
Something that we've always done, I want to encourage everybody to do this. Whatever is broke in your life, world, relationship, schedule, fix it. We've always done a great job of just going like, hey, this is broke.
Yeah.
We're not going to operate like this. We identify what that problem is.
Right.
We identify what that hour is, and we try and put our hand on it. Like a couple weeks ago, we go, hey, bedtime, this is not going well. We're not doing good ending the day strong.
Yeah.
We're getting too frustrated with the fifth time that they come out to ask for milk.
Yeah, fifth is generous. let's
you know, and just fix it. So I love that. Next one. Okay, bite your tongue, quick to listen, slow to speak. What comes to mind? Bite your tongue, quick to listen, slow to speak.
Well, we just concluded a Proverbs series at the church. And so immediately I just think of wisdom and, you know, how we need to learn to tame our tongue and have self-control. Mm. And sounds easy, right?
Mm. Right.
I think self-control is a fruit of the Spirit for a reason. You know, right. It is something that is to be admired. It's something that's beautiful. Slow to speak is difficult when you are really wanting someone to understand what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, and generally that's our spouse. We talked a long time ago about how we protect our pillow talk.
Yep.
So we don't go to bed and we don't just dump information or gossip or share our frustrations with other people. You have always done such a good job at, as soon as I want to use my spouse as someone that I run my mouth to, you've always been like, you go to that person, you go to prayer, like you sort that. Mm. And so you've led that really well in our home, that we're not even about other people running our mouths.
Right.
Like words are edifying. So that on average, a man says about 2,000 to 3,000 words a day, right, and a woman 10,000 to 11,000. And probably 500 of those 10,000 are words that are meaningful and productive. Mm. So I think of like that idea of how much excess and how much garbage I'm dumping out. And so it's like slow to speak, you know, quick to listen. I mean, that is something that as a woman and me trying to get all my woman brain thoughts out there, processing out loud, I'm like, what comes out of the mouth has to be from out of the heart. So it's like, if I want to be slow to speak and my words are of value and my words are on purpose and my words are ones that edify and are productive and life-giving, you know, I really have to work on the root of the issue, the heart.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. You landed exactly where I think all of us, anyone that's listening, anyway, that's streaming in, it's just like, this is the biggest problem we have. I have a wounded heart, and so do you.
Yeah.
I'm a broken person, and so are you.
Yeah.
And the more broken we stay, and the more wounded we are, hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just the bottom line. If ever I get ugly, it's because my heart is ugly.
Yeah.
And I've got to be a person for the sake of my home and my marriage and my relationships and my life, to find times where I receive healing.
Yeah.
Healing comes from God's presence. I believe that. Healing comes from great community and great relationships. Healing comes from laughter and the joy that comes from, you know, it's like the Bible says it's medicine, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I've got to get my heart good, because my words will stay ugly if my heart is creased.
Yeah.
My heart is shattered. So, yeah, when I say quick, you know, quick to listen and slow to speak, I don't even have a shot at that. I'm so far. I think that's why the pandemic was so hard, is because people got decimated financially.
Mm-hmm.
Their confidence got, you know, thrown down the drain. People's lives, and they're used to travel. They're used to a certain amount of access to people. They're used to community. Take all that away, then people are broken.
Yeah.
And out of that brokenness, what are they left at home with? Social media.
Right.
I guarantee Twitter has never seen such volatility and social media such ugliness as this past year. Why? Because everyone's broken and hurting. And we will continue to have ugly words if we have an ugly heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for both of us, our commitment is just going like, hey, the issue is not you as much as I want it to be about you.
Yeah.
I am actually the problem.
Yeah.
I'm reacting like this because I'm not in a good place.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, okay.
I wonder if people are curious what our ugly words are.
Oh, I know, and I'm going there. Stop. Okay. Five was stay tender. I'm going to skip it because we don't like, you and I are kind of, you said the word intense. We're more driven. Okay, whatever. I'm like, we're tender, God. But let's go. Let's climb. Let's go.
I can never relate with the image that Jesus is petting the sheep. You know, I'm like.
Yeah, Papa God. It doesn't, it's
Papa
not our language.
God. Daddy.
Daddy yeah, God. Yeah. Okay, number six, look for beauty.
Oh, I love this.
What comes to mind?
Looking for beauty.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know for us, like when I am unable to see the good and be grateful for what we have.
Right.
I think I start digging deep and the core issue is that I'm not seeing the beauty in myself. Ooh. So for me, loving myself equals loving others.
Beautiful.
Finding beautiful things about myself equates to finding beautiful things about other people.
Yeah.
Loving how God made me go down the line.
Yep.
It enables me to love how God made other people. I mean, there's like a real connection.
100%.
And I haven't loved that reality to figure that out about myself. We have four kids and they're all wired differently. And I love that about them. So we have the kid that sleeps up and wakes up with a smile. We have the kid that wakes up growling and ready to throw something. We have the kid that wakes up instantly finding the negative in the day. I mean, there's different essential oils for each child's need. No, just kidding. We're all wired differently.
Right.
And so some of us by nature can find the beauty in things easier. I mean, that is, we have close friends and their kids. It's like if we give them a bag of Cheetos as a gift, like they're going to think that this is the most amazing, beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a kid in our mix. We have a kid.
We have a child.
Together, we have a kid. that it's like, it's more difficult to please.
Yeah.
Higher expectations, bigger dreams. Now, that it's a leadership quality. But we're always teaching our kids how to find the beauty in the midst of the moments.
Yep.
Now, there can be bad moments.
Sure.
There can be bad things, but we can't create a bad day out of it.
Right.
So there can be bad days, but we can't create a bad month out of that.
Right.
So I think finding beauty in the midst of, let's just use 2020. I mean, people have used the term silver lining or, you know, beauty in the ashes, but I just think finding beauty does, for me personally, it requires me to remember. It requires me to look back and appreciate all God has done.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm like, I've had dark days where I feel alone and isolated, and I'm like, God, are you with me? Am I still on your radar? I have to look back and say, oh, that's right. You've never forsaken me.
Yep.
You've brought me this far.
Yep.
Now, if I'm getting negative about what's going on in our house and feeling overwhelmed, I look back and I say, God, you've never forsaken me. Your hand has been in every moment this far. And so I think it finding beauty requires remembering for me personally.
Totally.
Remember how beautiful and how good his faithfulness has been.
Absolutely.
Finding beauty requires a habit of gratitude.
That's it.
I have to take time to declare the good things.
That's it.
And speak them out loud.
That's
and
right.
It really does. It shifts my thinking.
Yeah.
It shifts my ability to find beauty.
I think you hit on two things that I just want to, you know, highlight that I think are really important. I think the first one you hit on was you loving yourself.
Yeah.
Because I can't find the beauty in anyone else or anything else until I see the beauty in myself.
Right.
And I think that, you know, we have friends that recently were in marriage counseling, and I think that, you know, somehow, I forget how they concluded this, but the biggest issue was the man doesn't love himself, doesn't mm-hmm. value himself. And because he doesn't value himself, he doesn't do X, Y, and Z. And because he doesn't do X, Y, and Z and love himself, there is no room for him to love his wife.
Right.
And I think that right there at the core.
Yeah.
You cannot find beauty in someone else mm-hmm. if you do not first find beauty in yourself.
Yeah.
So I think it goes back to confidence.
Right.
Security.
Yeah.
Identity. When I love me, I got room to love others.
Yeah.
If I am shame and guilt and frustration with me and unkind, if I speak unkindly to me, I'll speak unkindly to everybody else.
Yeah.
So my self-talk and my self-view matters.
Right.
Because it determines whether I can see beauty in other people and other things.
Yeah.
I think the second thing that you hit on is gratitude. Mm-hmm. We walked, last week we were in Florida, and we walked into Rich and DC's house. And I don't know if you remember, the first thing you see when you walk in their house mm-hmm. is a painting. Mm-hmm. And I forget the exact phrase, but it's something like gratitude.
Yeah.
Like, are you grateful or something?
So good. I don't remember what I said, but that's amazing.
And I just, right when I saw that, I just go, that's it. I so smart to put this when you walk through the door.
Yeah.
That this house is going to be filled with thankfulness.
Right.
I don't know anyone that struggles with somebody that's like, they are so grateful.
Yeah.
They are so thankful. They are just, they feel so blessed.
Yeah.
Like anyone that feels shortchanged, anyone feels like broken dreams.
Right.
My expectations haven't been met. I live with disappointment. It's like that. You get into that world, you don't see the beauty in anything.
Yeah.
But you can see beauty. It's so much perspective.
Right.
It's so much paradigm. So when I see look for beauty, the first, I in our children, I see such beauty. In mm-hmm. you, I see such beauty. In L.A., this drives me nuts.
Same.
People are like, L.A., California. It's like, no. Come to L.A. Let me show you L.A.
Yeah.
There's no Angelino.
The real L.A.
Going like our city. No, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
California is the greatest state in America. Like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yep.
What is ugly, in Spanish it is the word feo, to someone else is beautiful to another.
Yeah.
So I think you have to look for the beauty in yourself. And in the other person. Last one. Has this been awesome? Leaners. Leaders are leaners. Like it's supposed to be readers, Chad. Number 7. Remember the foundation. Trust, respect, and communication. So there's a foundation in all relationships. The 3 foundations, the pillars of a relationship is trust, respect, or maybe respect first. Respect, trust, and communication. When I say that, what comes to mind?
Well, I'm still on the leaner. And so I think about when one of those has been broken, one of the pillars of the foundation has been broken. You got a leaning foundation. You like how I did that? You like how I did that?
I see what you did there.
And then everything becomes off.
All of it.
Right? It's unproportionate. It's not centered.
It doesn't work.
So if something's ever been broken, you have to rebuild the pillar of that. You have to rebuild the foundation.
That's it.
And I would assume that every person has had one of those areas
100%.
Harmed or hurt or broken at some point in their life.
Yes.
And so if we're talking about foundation and core, and you and I are both working on our actual cores,
our cores right now. Yes, we are.
And that is because we have old backs. But I think it's, you know, any physical therapist, when you have an injury or when you have a trauma to any part of your body, they'll start with getting that core right, you know, get the core right. And then everything else can be built off of that. And so when you talk about foundation, I just instantly think about when we realize that there were cracks in the foundation and how do we rebuild that?
That's
something that's been broken. If you have shattered glass and we try to glue it back together, guess what? It's going to be easily shattered.
Yeah.
Again, if you drop it lightly. So, if you're susceptible to re-breaking, you have to figure out how to get yourself whole correctly.
That's right.
And yeah, I think luckily in our marriage, trust has never been something that's been broken.
Right.
I neither of us live in fear of the other one. And I think that has a lot to do with we have parents that are still together that comes from our home environments. Maybe someone is listening that they have seen trust be broken in their home that they grew up in. And that's a core fear for them is the ability to trust. That is something that is a challenge to rebuild that. But I think that's something that's worth having faith over fear and choosing to grab a hold of that and finding the beauty and the benefit of the other person. Trust is a challenge for people, but I'm really grateful that I trust you. I trust you. This is so nice. No, trust, and what was the other
respect
one?
Respect and communication.
Well, communication is one that is maybe one that we really are always working on.
Absolutely.
Communication has been something that we're always finessing. We're always working on,
Can I just say that communication, the demand to be good at it, never goes away.
Right.
The requirement of constantly building this pillar, no one is above or exempt of it.
Yeah.
It's like we're communicating feelings.
Yeah.
Communicating schedule.
Yeah.
Communicating conversations that are essential. Like just communicating where we're at, where we're going.
What our needs are.
It's just constant communication. So I think when we talk about these pillars, I think what we're really saying in relationships are work.
Right.
Let me encourage you that just like if you're in a relationship, that's amazing. You're married. That's amazing. It just takes a lot of hard work for something to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to work on my communication. I got to constantly work on my character, which builds trust, my decision-making skills, which build trust.
Yep.
And I got to always make decisions that are of respect. How do I speak in a way that is respectful? How do I act? And when Julie's not around, that builds respect. It's just all of these things are constant. They're fluid. And they continue to build a greater life. Or when one of these goes bad, it's like we got to press pause. And we got to focus on this thing and go, hey. It's like I heard someone say about, ministry. You worry about the depth of it and God will worry about the breadth of it.
Hmm.
Relationships are the same thing. I worry about the depth of our pillars and how good our foundation is.
Right.
And if that's strong, the rest is awesome.
Yeah.
You can't take a vacation to fix a foundation.
Right. Yeah.
Right? You can't buy a present to fix the foundation.
Yeah.
You put in the hard work of a relationship and then the rest is just cherry on top.
Right. And it takes time to rebuild a foundation.
100%.
So I think when people are like, I just need a vacation. I just need some time off. I'm like, give yourself a while.
Yeah.
Rebuild and then look back and see how much you've grown.
That's it.
Celebrate
the little wins.
Right.
I think that's something we've, in this last year, tried to get really good at.
Yeah.
Just celebrate the growth, the progress, and the little wins.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
It's fun. What else in this last year have we really worked hard at?
Getting our waistlines back. I don't know what you think.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen. We've made a lot of meals at home.
Ooh.
When I say we, mean more me.
I was like, we've eaten
a lot.
I did the Postmates.
Postmates. Yeah, that's great. No.
We had a lot of peanut butter and jelly last year.
We did.
We had a lot of, great.
Yeah, we had fun.
It was so funny. I was telling somebody yesterday, I love this new life so much. I don't know if I'm quite ready to go back to my old life or ever will fully go back to that old life.
Right.
Not that it was bad. It was just like, I really like being home every night. Like, this is fun. Like, being around our family every night, I really enjoy it. Maybe I didn't enjoy that the first 3-4 months, but I've learned 11 months into it to now enjoy it. So we love you, leaners. We will be back for episode 4 of season number 1. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, Apple Music Podcast. And also, we are sending a leadership email every other week. Make sure you subscribe to that. We love you. We'll see you soon.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.